Okay, hello everyone. Welcome to another episode of Functionally Autoimmune. I'm happy that you're here with me today because I have a fantastic guest that I know that you're going to be excited to listen to today. With me on the show, I have Dr. Lonnie Herman. He is the creator of Rapid Health Restoration Systems. Hi, Dr. Herman. Thank you so much for joining me today.
I thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So I'm really excited to one, hear a little bit more about you and how you got to the point that you did where you created this amazing restoration system. Can you tell us a little bit more about you, your background, and how you kind of landed in this area of medicine?
Yes. Well, I'll tell you, many years ago when I was a kid, my mother told me, "You're going to pick something to do in life. It's either a doctor, a dentist, or a lawyer." And so that was my direction. I had to pick something. I didn't know what to pick at that time. Nobody in my family was in healthcare at all, or really any kind of work in this arena. So it was interesting. My brother, real quick, my older brother hurt his back. Chiropractor helped him feel better. He and I were so close growing up, and to exercise, physical fitness, and so on. We said, "Chiropractor, he's called the doctor. What the hell? Well, let's just go in that direction," because it felt good to get a chiropractic treatment. And that was how we chose. But when I came out of chiropractic school, and the school I went to was very philosophically based, that it was the only thing that a person needed was getting a chiropractic adjustment, and that it's going to take away all the ailments that somebody suffered from. And so I came out of school with that belief system. For it was with me for a short period of time, but I realized quickly after school that it wasn't all that it was gonna that it was cracked up to be in the school. And I saw people with different kinds of diseases, whether it was high blood pressure problems, or they had had a quadruple bypass, or they had diabetes, or they had nerve pains in the body, or they had migraine headaches and fatigue, or fibromyalgia, or people with multiple sclerosis and other types of autoimmune conditions, or even cancers. I wasn't really successful in helping them get rid of their condition. So I decided, just to give you the short of a long story, I decided to go back to school for functional neurology and neurochemistry and neuroimmunology and endocrinology, and very deep into blood chemistry analysis and gastrointestinal disorders, and dental work and the connection of teeth to the body, and alternative cancer type of treatment schooling, and developmental disorders of the brain, and movement disorders like a Parkinson's type of condition, and balance disorders, vertigo type of disorders. So I got really a very wide range of I'll say education there. But something that really stood out to me was in the immunology program, that the immunologist who taught us, he was about 40 years in the industry, he's a PhD in immunology, he talked about that and showed us dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of research papers from labs around the world where the scientists were not paid by drug companies to say that the drug was the answer for the condition. He was showing that every different disease was caused by chronic hidden infections and toxins that were in the body's tissues and that made the disease occur. For example, one of the pictures he put up in front of us, it was a drawing, kind of a drawing, I don't know, an animation, but it was showing that the mercury filling from a tooth can leave the tooth and just go down through a blood vessel to the thyroid and cause, let's say, for example, Hashimoto's or Graves' disease of the thyroid. And there were articles about how parasites in the gums were the same as parasites in the joints of the body, causing rheumatoid arthritis in the person, or in the arteries, and so in causing arteriosclerosis. So at that point, it was, I had a very interesting conversation with him after the class. I was so happy. And he taught us about leaky gut, and there were tests for leaky gut. And so there was all this, but the main thing that stood out to me was infections and toxins that were in the body causing disease. And I had a discussion with him. I called him up to thank him for opening my eyes and my mind that, you know, that there may be really an answer to help somebody rid their condition. Now, at that point, I was running different labs on patients, and I'm getting right to why I'm doing what I'm doing now. I was running different labs on people of stool testing and saliva testing, adrenal testing, hormone testing, blood testing, leaky gut testing, food sensitivity panels, and there are probably more that I left out right now. And once there were people with lupus, there are people with heart disease, there are people with other various health conditions who came to me for help. they were going to a lot of other practitioners at the same time, but they came to me for help. And I was running all these different labs on people. And then some people, the leaky gut test came back negative. And some people, there were no parasites or other kinds of infections in their stool. Some people, there was no hormonal imbalance. There was no adrenal imbalance. And so I was left with too many unanswered questions from the multiple laboratories you're running on people. And I asked this doctor when I spoke with him, this immunologist, I said, well, how do what I find mercury in the thyroid? And his answer was, I don't have an answer for you. I said, because I'm not going to take a biopsy of somebody's thyroid and be able to send it off to a lab and get that answer, because the hair analysis or the urine analysis for heavy metal is not going to give us the answer. So anyway, he said, well, just keep, now you know that there is a reason. Now you know what you really should be looking for out there. Now go on your journey and find it. And that was it. So I stumbled across this research that was developed by biophysicists in Europe, and that's really getting to the whole point of the answer to your question was, there are too many people around me who are ill, who are not responding well to functional medicine and diet changes and leaky gut and all these different things that we were doing and neurology work, and too many people were not getting better. Some people did get better, but there were I wanted to get the person better who couldn't get better with those steps. So I found a method that allows me or helps me to find the different embedded, deeply rooted infections that are hidden to certain laboratories, infections that are in parts of the brain or a thyroid or the pancreas or the liver or the kidney, wherever it is in the body, we can find those and help them rid them. So that's what it's all about. Because it's all about getting the person better. I need to get the person better.
I love that. I love the direction that you've taken. I'm deeply fascinated and find myself reading research papers all the time for various things, but specifically around hidden infections and things like that. So I'm really fascinated by that. And I love that you have kind of taken that knowledge, that thought process, and you've really kind of ran with it. And you're like, I know that you have these things, I'm going to find them, the source of them. And I think that's really great because I think a lot of people and my listeners out there, you can always respond to me. They know they can reach out to me anytime. But I think a lot of people out there don't realize that there are all these hidden infections and things that could be happening in their bodies. Do you find that to be true?
That a lot of people don't realize that, sure. By the time that they're coming to see me in person, then they've already watched several videos and been through my website, so it opened their mind to that. But some people, yeah, there's a good percentage definitely that don't realize that. They just think maybe there's some, food problem that they're having a problem with, or whatever else it is. But yeah, definitely, I agree with you. Some people just don't get that.
Absolutely. And then the other thing that you mentioned that is really fascinating to me and that I'm wondering if you could go into just kind of a little bit further is the impact that our teeth actually have on our health. So can you kind of go into that a little bit more?
Absolutely. Well, I'll make 2 points. Number one, that again, what I said earlier is that when they did this study, I didn't talk about the whole study, but they found in a study of patients with rheumatoid arthritis, they did biopsy samples of their gums. They found microscopic, we couldn't see with the eyes, on a worm that was in the mouth crawling around or something. They found microscopic parasitic organisms in the gums. They took samples of their synovial fluid in the joints that were inflamed with the as diagnosed rheumatoid arthritis condition. They found the same parasites in the joints, in the fluid, in the joints that were in the gums. And they said, well, there was a direct correlation of the infection that was in the mouth, and it wasn't noticeable. It was like they had bleeding gums or something like that. And they said that the rheumatoid arthritis was caused by the parasites that were in the joints. And that was what the conclusion was to the study. So I'll tell you, there's a couple of things. There's a study that was done with down in Japan. I'll have to think, the name of it evades me right now. But the study was done where these people in this fisherman village all developed this type of Parkinson's seizure-like activity. And what the scientists who did the study, they found that it was from this fertilizer company was dumping, that was right on the other side of the water from where these people live. They were dumping the excess, let's just call it junk, that was how they made the fertilizer. Mercury they were releasing into the water. The mercury got in the fish. The people ate the fish. They developed these seizure-like and Parkinson's-like condition. And so it's called Minamata disease, one word, Minamata, for that area in Japan. So that really, helped me understand a bit more. There's a lot of studies from dentists out there, biological dentists, where they can find that there's like a root canal linked to a disease, like a mercury filling could be linked to a disease. I'm going to take it a bit further in a moment about what I find from dental procedures causing problems in people. But there's a lot of research out there that shows that root canals, they're dead infected teeth in the mouth, and those infections, and if we look at it from an energy standpoint, that the dead energy, like a magnet, the dead negative energy of the tooth is actually also migrating to a part of the body or parts of the body. So I have found with some people where getting a root canal extracted from their mouth, all of a sudden symptoms can just disappear. But I've also realized that certain people where they had a root canal dead infected tooth extracted from their mouth, the symptom didn't disappear. And with my method, I'm able to, and it dawned on me over time, I kept thinking about why would one person get better and one person wouldn't. But I realized that the infection and the energy of that dead infected tooth had migrated to parts of the body over time. Like, for example, it could be in their thyroid, it could be in their brain, it could be in their ovary, it could be in the intestines, it could be in the stomach. But I'll go a bit further, is that there's a lot of research. I mean, we've all heard in certain like toothpaste, you know, advertisements, like whatever, I don't remember verbatim what they say, but gingivitis, inflammation of the gums, is a cause of leading cause of like heart disease or cardiovascular disease, right? We've heard that before from the dental world and the toothpaste industry. But the any infection that's in a tooth, the dental, there was a group of German dentists back in about the 50s. They made what's called the Meridian Dental Chart. And they showed that every single tooth, which we know has blood vessels and nerves in every tooth, and those blood vessels and nerves leave every tooth and go into the jawbone. And those blood vessels and nerves in the jawbone from the tooth also connect to, let's say, the carotid artery in the neck, the arteries in the back of the spine, that can go anywhere. Now, once it gets in the circulation, the infection from the tooth, it can go to your thyroid, your stomach, your large intestine, small intestine, colon, breast tissue, lungs, anywhere in the body, bone marrow, lymph, anywhere in the body, your muscles, anywhere in the body, these infections can migrate if the infection started in the tooth and travel to the body. I'll take it a bit further, is that the infection could be in an organ first. Let's say there was a child who ate a food, like a boy had a hamburger in summer camp, let's say, and got sick, had food poisoning, threw up and got, you know, fever and diarrhea for a couple of days. Symptoms go away, but that infection may never have totally left the stomach. And then over the years, it can migrate up to a tooth and decay the tooth, like termites in the wood of the walls of the home. Yeah. The stomach infection can travel up to a tooth and eat away at the tooth or eat away at a bone and cause the tooth to decay. So that's one way to see it as well. But also what I've witnessed is that patients who've had, let's say, the dental anesthesias put into their mouth, the anesthetic to numb the jaw, which we need. I'm not knocking the drug company or the dentist. We have to use that if we're going to get a tooth pulled or get a tooth drilled into or something, because that's too painful. But the anesthetic that's put into the jawbone, you know, have you ever had dental work done?
Absolutely. Okay.
So if you can imagine, if your listeners can imagine, think of yourself sitting in that dental chair when they injected that numbing agent in your mouth to numb a tooth or numb the side of your jaw. You know, you're they wait a few minutes, dentist comes back and checks you. You're numb. Yep, I'm numb. Okay, so part of the tongue is numb. The lip can be numb. Part of your face might be numb. Your jaw is definitely numb on that area where they injected that numbing agent. Yeah. Now, about 4 hours later, 5 hours later, when the numbness wears off, the chemical wore off. Where did it go? It didn't just disappear, but your mouth is not numb anymore. And you can drink and speak and swallow and all that. But the chemical, what I discovered is that that numbing agent can just leave your jaw, not can, it does, and it can migrate down to your thyroid. It can go directly up into your brain. It can go into your kidney. It can go to your lymph. It can go anywhere, and it does. It can, and it does. Mm-hmm. Each person is an individual, but that's something I have to find in people as well. Because I was witnessing in the past where I would help, you know, get somebody off gluten, get somebody off dairy, go after the leaky gut, and take them, okay, well, don't eat eggs, or don't eat, maybe they have to stay away from oxalate, foods like spinach or tomatoes or something like that. But they still weren't responding. Yeah. I still wasn't seeing a change. And when I started to think this way and look for those poisons and look for the infections and start getting them out of people, the turnaround in some people, a reduction in their symptoms is just, in some cases, it's so night and day. I mean, it's so dramatic. It's so quick. It's impressive. So yeah, so the teeth and the body are all connected. Every blood vessel and nerve and every tooth is connected to your whole entire cardiovascular nervous system, which is, you have nerves everywhere. You got blood vessels everywhere, yeah. Skin, brain, everywhere. So yeah.
Yeah. And it's a little scary to think that, you know, you could be going in for what we consider routine some type of a routine dental procedure, and it actually end up causing you some very large issue later on. And you know, it's very difficult to kind of think through how to put that together. Like, at what point did that happen? What happened in my life that may have triggered that? And so it's very interesting, and it's important to note that our body is connected. Every ounce of it's connected to itself. And so it completely makes sense that something that affects one part of your body can absolutely move and affect another part of your body. But you also mentioned energy a little bit, like the energy from that dead tooth. Can you explain a little bit more, like how do you determine that energy, and how does one change that? How can you adjust that negative energy?
Okay, so very good question. Now I can talk for a very long time about this.
That's
So
okay.
I'll tell you, I will tell you, and this is not in any way I'm advertising for myself, but I will tell you that it took me so long to figure this out and then be able to help somebody understand. I was tell I when I was in a consultation with certain patients a few years ago, it would take me like an hour and a half to describe it to people and to get them to understand, like, how are you doing that? I don't get it. So I did write an ebook that is on my website that's free for people to download their own copy. And in my ebook, on the very last page of my ebook, it's only about 40 pages. It's an easy read. But at the end of the book, I have a link to a video that's on a private page on my website that people can read once they people can click on that link once they have read the book, and it brings them to that private page where I made a video that's about 40 minutes in length and 40, 42 minutes or so, somewhere around there. And half of the second half of the video, I go into how I do what I do basically. I give it like a basic understanding of it. But I'll tell you that everything is energy, everything. So if we looked at, without getting too deep into this, I can, I'm very happy to, but I don't want to overwhelm somebody who might not be ready for this understanding right now, but the or not be op not be able to understand it so easily without breaking it down into the simplest forms. But we understand, you know, it's like doing a test with a patient. If a patient has ever been to a doctor and they sit on an exam table and the doctor takes a reflex hammer and hits them in their knee, they know they can see or feel the reflex with their leg, right? Or the knee jerk type of reaction from that contact of the reflex hammer on the knee joint.
Sure.
When a doctor shines a light in a pupil and they're not touching the eye, because there are different reflexes we can do, but a doctor could stand like 3 feet away from a person or a foot away from a person and shine a light. They're not touching the eyeball, like poking the eye with a finger or a Q-tip or something that makes a certain reflex happen. But when we shine a light through the air, the light is energy and the light is traveling through the eye and into the brain. And the brain's response is to the muscles in the iris, the color part of your eye. Those muscles will squeeze down because the nervous system is telling them the light's too bright, squeeze down. And make the pupil smaller, that dims the amount of light going into the brain. So
Yeah.
we know that energy, I'm you're trying to use a something that's people are familiar with because they've had a light shine in their eye if they ever had to get glasses or a
Yeah.
heart exam or something. Doctors do that pretty common with people. So when the light, which is energy, is traveling through the air and it's going into the eye and the brain, we can see a reflex. The doctor can see the reflex. The patient doesn't see it or feel it in their own eye, but the doctor can witness it happening. So the point is that energy travels through things, and even people can understand about energy with, you know, sometimes people walk into a room, and there's other people in that room where there was an argument that just took place, and the people, you know, when the new person walks in the room and everybody's quiet, but you can feel the tension that's in there. You know, something happened, right? Or sometimes mothers can say, like, I knew my child, something was wrong. I just felt it, right? So there's an energy about us. And if you call it a sixth sense, I mean, there's an energy about us, and so just keeping with those things in mind. And I studied a bit into quantum physics and into biophysics, but I'm not a quantum physicist. I'm not a biophysicist, but I looked at some information by these brilliant scientists, and it just really dawned on me that anything, just like anything, can travel anywhere in the body. Therefore, if light travels through the sunlight travels through the air, and you know, it's make you squint your eyes, put your hand over your head, or wear sunglasses or a visor. The energy is traveling and it stresses us. And what these other scientists have described is that anything can travel anywhere. They talked about even intercontinental, like going from US to England. They were able to show when people, scientists in an auditorium in US focused on this laboratory in England, just the focus of the energy here, they were able to make a definite and observable change in something that was that they were focusing on in the lab that was in the United Kingdom.
Wow.
So yeah, so I don't know how to describe it better than just giving you some examples, but I once I took into account some of these studies that I read and just, you know, an observation like light traveling through the air, making somebody's pupil smaller, pupil reflex occur. I was just thinking over time, I mean, how could it be? Could it be possible that it's like looking at like an ant pile, for example, if you put, you know, a piece of pizza on the sidewalk by the ant pile, the ants are going to crawl to the pizza. And if you put now a piece of, let's say, I don't know, if you put like a hamburger, I don't know how to give you an example, hamburger on the other side, on the south side of that, you got the north side of the ant pile, ants are crawling to the pizza. South side, you put a hamburger, they're going to grow in both directions to get the, right? So the thing is that energies can travel and infections can travel just like that with the ant pile. So I just was sitting around thinking like, why would one person get better by pulling a root canal and another person wouldn't? And it just, the more that I thought about it and thinking of these other examples that scientists gave and thinking of the ant pile and so on, I just said, you know what, let me try this. And I tried with a patient and I just was like, wow, I found that their thyroid was sick from that tooth. And I found that the stomach was sick from the tooth and their lungs were sick from the tooth. And it just went on. And then I developed more of a skill set in being able to detect this. I don't know how to describe it any better than what, than the examples I just gave
great.
You. But yeah, it's just, it's really amazing. And so, for example, somebody could have a root canal, then it could be infecting their intestines and causing some kind of Crohn's, you know, disease.
Right.
And the tooth could be infected with parasites and bacteria. So they can run a stool test and see that there are parasites in the stool. And sure. There could be bacteria in the stool, and it could totally be coming from the tooth, and they can take medicine or take supplements or whatever they do, or an enema, whatever they're going to do, but the tooth is still there causing, and it's still draining right down to the organ.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Does that answer that for you?
It does. No, that's great. It's fantastic. I'm just curious though, I have two questions. I'm curious
sure.
how you see, and I mean this because you've been training for doing this for a really long time, trained in this, studied this for a long time. How do you see this energy? Is there equipment that you use? Is
yes.
there a certain way to kind of find that?
Yeah, so good. So as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, I wrote that ebook. And then at the end of the ebook, there's a link for people to click on the video and be able to watch the second half of that video is where I get into a bit of a deeper discussion. And I can go much deeper than what I did there. I will say this, if somebody does get to see that video, who any of your listeners do get to see the video, I made that discussion, I presented that discussion in a way for, because some people just get so overwhelmed as I, the more that I keep explaining, they're just, some people have brain fog and some people have concentration focus problems. So it's just, I tried to shorten it down and make it more simple. I can get even deeper. Okay. So with that, I have samples with these scientists. If I can speak a little bit about frequencies.
Sure.
And energies. Okay, good. So these biophysicists discovered something, and it's something, if anybody has ever taken chemistry or organic chemistry, we know that there are different energies because we can look at like, you know, if you took, for example, let's say you had an ounce of gold in one hand and an ounce of silver and your eyes are closed, you can't tell which is which.
Right.
If somebody took black paint and covered the ounce of gold and somebody took black paint and covered the ounce of silver, you don't know which is which because you never saw which was which before they painted it black. If black paint stuck to it, let's just say that it's possible to paint it black. You're holding it or any color, green, blue, purple, whatever color you want to use. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't know which is which because the weight of the 1 ounce feels the same from one to another. Yeah. But when scientists look under a microscope, they can tell that gold is different than lead and different than silver and different and mercury and all these things, right? So there's different energies about things. And so that's known in chemistry. And when we look at what another, one other quick example is, you know, we as humans walk around, we don't hear without a device called a radio. We don't hear the radio waves that are in the air above us, right? But we know there's a radio station sending out a signal, a radio wave, which is a frequency. So if we went to like an FM radio dial and put on 105.9, and put on 103.5, there's two totally different radio stations on the FM dial. They're going to have different music, different DJs, different commercials, maybe some of the same commercials, but you get my point. There's different radio station, different. Okay, so there's different frequencies that carry different energies and different bits of information, just like gold and silver are totally different. Well, what these scientists discovered is that every part of your body has its own individual frequency. So, well, you can say, well, somebody has an aura, somebody has an energy, that's a good person, that's not a good person, or that person's hurting. You can tell their energy. But I'm talking on the individual tissues of the body. They discovered that the thyroid, for example, in a person's body, the thyroid has its own frequency. They found with certain devices that they use to measure frequencies, that is, they found that the thyroid, let's say in a woman, the thyroid and the adrenal gland, they're both different glands. They're both making hormones. They're part of the endocrine system, but they have different frequencies. They have different energies, like that of a radio station. So, like 105.9 and 103.5, for example. So we know the radio waves are above us. We don't hear them without the radio, but we need to have a tuning device, a radio with an antenna and power going to it, to be able to pull that energy from up there in the air through the speaker so we could hear what's on the radio. You know, even the same for humans with, let's say, the brilliant device of night vision goggles. I've never put them on, but I've seen in movies what it looks like when they put them on. They could see at night, but I can't see at night without them on. So somehow humans were brilliant enough to be able to create another device, night vision goggle, that we could see at night, like it's daytime almost. So what these biophysicists discovered is they were able to actually measure the frequency of perfect healthy human tissues, like the thyroid is different than the adrenal, the bone marrow is different than your lymph. They're named different, they have different functions. Each individual tissue has its own frequency. And about infections, I'll come back to that point in just a moment. Different infections, if you look at bacteria, for example, that's one group of a type of organism, not a parasite, it's not a virus, not a fungus, not a mold, right? So if you look at bacteria, there's strep bacteria, there's staph bacteria, there's gonorrhea, right? There's different E. coli, there's different kinds of bacteria. The same with viruses. We've become more familiar with viruses now than probably in the past 3 years than ever before. So you think there's an influenza virus, there's an Epstein-Barr virus, right? There's a herpes zoster, herpes simplex, there's measles, right? There's different viruses. And even though they're all viruses, they have different, they can look at them under a microscope and see that they're different. They're different individual, if you will, let's just call it an organism. They're different, they're unique. Measles is not influenza. Influenza is not, if we say COVID, it's not herpes. So the same with the parasites. Hookworm is not a pinworm. The two are totally different, right? So gold is not silver. So the scientists were able to measure and record the frequencies of these different tissues in the body and measure the different frequencies of these different black mold is different than, let's say, candida. So I have samples of these different tissues. One is labeled, let's say, the mitral valve on the heart. Another one is labeled the ovary. Another one is labeled the left breast. Another one's the right breast, the lungs, the trachea, the stomach, and so on down the line for every tissue of the whole body, the skin, the bone marrow, everywhere from the body from head to toe, the hair follicle, everywhere from head to toe. I have samples of all these different tissues, even every part of the eye, the ear, the nasal, the inner lining of the nose, the sinuses, the tongue, the gums, everything. I have samples in these vials of, and they're labeled for what they are. And I have samples of all these different organisms, different viruses, fungi, molds, mold toxins, mycotoxins, in other words, of different parasites, of different bacteria, of different vaccines, of because tetanus shot is not the MMR shot, right? It's not the polio shot. They're different. So all heavy metals. And so I have samples of all these in my clinic and through a device, which again, I get into deeper detail on that video I talked about. But and it's not a machine, it's not a plugged-in computer type of device, but we have a way of testing the person and finding if they're stressed by a certain organism. Let's just say, and I'm trying to make it simple. There's many different ways I can do this, but let's just say that I can have them holding on to this metal tool, and I put down, let's say, a sample of the influenza virus. If they're not infected and stressed by the influenza virus, when I have them connected to the energy of the influenza, the body does not go into a stressed state. I take away the influenza. If I put down, let's say, COVID, I put that down, okay, onto the equipment that they're holding on to, the body goes into a stress state if that's what they're infected with, causing their symptom. And then I can match up the organs. So once I see their stress, just let me go back a second. When I said shining a light in the pupil reflex occurs when the stressor is there. that cause that the light is in the eye, the stress occurs, right? The reflex occurs. Take away the light, the stress disappears. So when I put down, let's say, I'll go back and just use influenza, for example. I put down influenza virus. Let's say they're not stressed to it. They're not showing me a response that I can measure, like a light in the eye, like a reflex response. When I put down, I'll use Epstein-Barr. I put down Epstein-Barr virus or monovirus. I put that down and they are infected with that. The body goes into a stressed reflex pattern that I can measure. I can see on the person. Yeah. Now I want to say, knowing that it's there, how do I get that out of them? What do I do? What tissue is that in? So let's just say I take a sample of the perfect human lung tissue sample. I put it down on the equipment next to the Epstein-Barr and I'm asking the body, is the Epstein-Barr in the lungs? And if it is, that's what we have to give. We have to give a remedy. I'll get into what that is in a minute to get the Epstein-Barr out of the lungs.
Right.
If it's not in the lungs, when I put the lungs down, the body stays stressed. Again, Epstein-Barr is on the equipment. Body is stressed. Put the lungs down. The body's not de-stressed. It doesn't come out of stress state. It's not in the lungs. I take a sample of, let's say, the stomach, perfect human stomach frequency. I put that down in the equipment. The person measures their stomach, compares their stomach to the perfect stomach, measures the Epstein-Barr. Yes, it's there. How do I know? Because the body now came out of its reflex. Again, take the light out of the pupil, reflex disappears. Yeah. So now I just confirmed that the stomach is infected with the Epstein-Barr virus.
Right.
Okay. Now, what these scientists also discovered is, again, if we look at like homeopathy, which I thought was craziness many years ago, I don't know why I thought that. I didn't even understand it at all, but like cures like is the idea behind that. And what these scientists discovered is that we can use water and we can imprint the frequency of that Epstein-Barr into the water. So the water now will carry the frequency of the Epstein-Barr and we can imprint the frequency of the perfect human stomach at a certain potency or strength level that we need to destroy the whole, neutralize the whole virus that's in the stomach. When they take this one drop, this one energized formula of this frequency imprinted water that is the Epstein-Barr in the perfect stomach, when the person takes it, the Epstein-Barr will just leave the stomach. It'll be gone.
Wow.
If somebody had a strep throat, I can have a sample of the tonsils, let's say, for example, with the strep pneumonia bacteria that we make that we found. And they take that remedy and it's going to, the strep throat, the whole sore throat is just going to disappear.
Yeah.
We have cases with I have people with terrible rashes that they've had for decades gone in a visit or two with me, a treatment or two. People with congestive heart failure has disappeared. Lupus symptoms. I've seen people with all kinds of asthma and chronic bronchitis and sinusitis, and the list goes on. We've helped people overcome so many different conditions by using this method to figure out exactly what's in the body, made the disease, and get it out of the body, and then goes away. Hashimoto's disease, we've seen leave the body with proof in medical tests following up. So it's pretty great.
Yeah, that's really amazing. I love that. And my question is, you know, there are some people who are very complex. You know, I've worked with people that have multiple autoimmune conditions. They have a lot of things going on. So when you have that type of complexity, how many visits, how long, what does that process look like? If you have someone who comes to you that has kind of that much complexity, how many times might they see you? What does that process look like?
I will say this, that's a great question. There are people who I have seen literally in one visit, in one protocol, where all their symptoms just disappeared. Oh. And I love it when that happens. Yeah. If that happens with every patient, I'm happier. I'd rather it be.
Yeah.
Because the sooner I can get them to now tell other people, the happier we're all going to be. It's better to get them better. I don't want it to take long. So, but everybody's got their own puzzle that we have to figure out. Mm-hmm. There are some people where it took two visits to see their symptoms go away, but there have definitely been some people where it's taken me literally and then 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10 visits to get their symptoms to go away, but the symptoms went away. Over time, as I keep observing people and witnessing what's going on and with them and the changes that they're making and improvements that they're experiencing, and then certain areas of the body that haven't improved, let's say from one visit to the next, I've developed better skill set over time to be able to, because again, my goal is to help them conquer the disease in one visit. That's what I want. Yeah. And it can happen. It's just, there's a scientist who became a great mentor of mine several years ago, about 9 years ago, when I first realized this work that I'm doing now. And he said to me, Dr. Herman, Russian doctor, he said, Dr. Herman, you're going to get so good at this work. You can be able to help a person. And I shouldn't use this word, but let's say rid. You can help a person rid the disease in just one visit. And I was in shock. I was like, what? How could, is that really possible? And that just like hypnotized me. And that's my driving. That's one of the drivers in me every day. Like, I've got to help this person conquer this as fast as possible because it's possible. So I'll give one example. There's a woman who came from Ireland. A mother brought her daughter. Daughter was 19 years old when they came here from Ireland last year. Rash on her body for her whole life since she was born. Constipation her whole life, headaches her whole life, brain fog her whole life, and fatigue and stomach pain. And I don't remember all the other symptoms. Oh, she had seasonal, I shouldn't call it seasonal. She had asthma that was induced by certain things in the environment and she didn't know what it was. In one treatment with her, the rash of a lifetime disappeared, constipation disappeared, the brain fog disappeared, the fatigue disappeared, the asthma disappeared in one treatment, one visit, one protocol. The protocol for her lasted, it was probably about 2.5 months or 3 months that she did at home.
Yeah.
And it's all gone now. But again, there are people, there are some people with complex problems, like in a multiple sclerosis, somebody's in a wheelchair, they got a bladder problem, they've got fatigue, brain fog. It's just, it's how bad is the system in their body? How many different causes of the condition are there, right? Does one person with MS have only 10 reasons and another person has 1,000 causes in their body? It's going to take longer to pick apart the 1,000 piece puzzle than it is a 10 piece puzzle. And I never know what, I never know how many pieces of the puzzle there are before we start. That's impossible to, I shouldn't say, I have not figured out how to predict that yet, but yeah. But again, the more complex, sometimes it can be very quick in one treatment. And sometimes it's just going to take some time and clean out the body of all the different causes of their condition.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And so I have to ask too, because I'm sure listeners are going to be thinking the same question. So you need to be kind of in the presence of these energy fields. You kind of have to be around that to see the reactions and things like that. So I'm assuming that a client would need to come to you. This isn't something that you can do via Zoom or over the phone or anything like that. Is that correct?
I definitely prefer it in person. There are sometimes I've had to do long distance because somebody couldn't get back in the country, for example, from, you know, the COVID lockdown thing and so on. So we were still able to do things for people overseas with that. But I think that the best that I have to offer is when somebody's in person here in the clinic. That's what I prefer. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you, Dr. Herman, so much for what you're doing, for all the information today. I also want to give you time to tell everyone where they can find you, how they can schedule an appointment with you, email address or the address that they can find your ebook or those types of things. So any information that you have that you can share, you can share that with us. And I'll also put it in the show notes today as well.
Oh, thank you. Yes. My website is my name. So it's www.drfordoctor.com. DrLonnieHerman.com, and just spell out my name. It's DrLonnieHerman.com. And the book is right there. It's very easy to get. You don't have to search for it on the website. The clinic email address is clinic@DrLonnieHerman.com, DR for doctor. I just appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share this with your listeners, your followers. And it's all about getting sick people well. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing what you're doing. And to all you listeners, I will make sure and put all of that in the show notes so that if you are interested in getting in touch with Dr. Herman, you can easily click on any of those there. And again, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show, and thank you so much for listening. This episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens, with 75 absorbable vitamins and minerals in just one scoop per day. I've increased my energy, immune function, and so much more. AG is a non-negotiable part of my daily routine. For your own risk-free AG plus 20% off and free vitamin D3 K2 supplement, go to www.athleticgreens.com/functionallyautoimmune or look in the notes of this podcast and you can find the link there. Trust me, you want to add Athletic Greens to your day. It makes such a huge difference.